Hi, this is Charlie Bernhout with another 2 hours of Jewish soul, but without the music. During the 3 weeks, I've decided to interview various leading cantors and people involved with Chazonus. And this is week two. I may have to go a few weeks afterwards. We'll see. The show this evening will, first hour, will feature cantors Naftali Hershtick, Bensian Miller, and Shimmy Miller. The second will have an interview with cantor Danny Gildar and Levi Kanis, a discoverer of great Chazonist talent and a producer of wonderful programs. You'll hear more about that later. I'm sad to announce the death of cantor Seymour Rockoff, wonderful chaz in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for many years, and prior to that in New Jersey. The funeral was July 9th. I understand he was 66 years old. He was, besides being a fine cantor, he was an outstanding satirist. Many of you recall many of his selections on the Rechnitzer Reject albums, and of course, his most famous one was Borough Park. We'll hear more about Seymour Rockoff in future programs. Let's begin with the first interview with Naftali Hershtick, Cantor Hershtick. I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone a cantor, Naftali Hershtick, the outstanding cantor from Israel, and we're going to hear much about his involvement with the TAKI, Tel Aviv Cantoral Institute. But shalom, how are you, Naftali?
Shalom, shalom, how are you?
Okay, thank you for taking this call. First of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, where you were born, where you were raised?
I was born in Hungary after the Second World War. I was one of the first one born in 1947 in Hungary. I was there till the age of 3.5, and that's when we made Aliyah to Israel. And I'm a descendant of a very, very Chazanish family for many generations. And all my uncles and great uncles, whoever was left alive after the Holocaust, they're all involved in Chazanut. Obviously, living in Tel Aviv, growing up in Tel Aviv, in the early statehood, when everybody came, I heard three Kusevitsky brothers many times. I heard Genchov and Vigoda and Malavsky. Anybody who was a name, we heard him in Tel Aviv.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I grew up, on top of the fact that Tel Aviv itself had some great Chazanim, Leibelik Lanz, Yitzchak Eshel, Shabtai Ackerman, to name just a few.
Mm-hmm.
My father, Zichron Livrocha, was a Chazan in Tel Aviv, and that's how my brother Chaim Eliezer and myself, that's how we grew up. In early childhood, we started singing with our father, and subsequently we became what they used to call in America Wunderkinderlach.
Yes, yes.
And we were able to perform the most intricate, complicated Chazanish pieces at the age of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Obviously, our route went from there into deeper Chazanis. After studying with my father, I studied with Leibelik Lanz and Shlomo Ravitz. Some time I spent with Moshe Kusevitsky when he was here. Hello?
Yes, I'm always impressed with so many of the Chazanim who've told me they've studied with Ravitz.
Yeah, well, there's no wonder. No wonder, because he left such a mark on you. He sort of brought to you all these. You know, Chazanis pre-recording time.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly certain things that I heard from my great uncle started to make sense, you know. I didn't know where he took them from. And here we are. This is Birnbaum, and this is Pinier, and this is, you know, all the names that I didn't hear before, suddenly he showed me on paper. There are compositions on paper.
I see.
Number one. Number two, he was such so particular on doing things, davening with absolutely correct Hebrew. He said, and I keep on saying it to my pupils at the Tel Aviv Cantorial Institute, that now that Hebrew became a living language, we talk, we eat, whatever we do in Hebrew. I mean, there are even Yiddish Ganovim, you know, they speak in Hebrew. There's no reason why we should speak to the Almighty for everybody in broken Hebrew. And that left a great mark on me. But that, obviously, I started very early, the years when my voice broke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a broke. My voice, the age of puberty.
Yes, you had to rest it, yes.
That's right. Uh-huh. Those years I started conducting by my father.
Uh-huh.
In the north of Tel Aviv, I conducted the choir, and that's how I became very, very sort of acquainted to so many great compositions, because when you have to conduct them, you have to know them properly. This is it. There, pretty soon, there was one Shabbos. My father was the Chazan in the great synagogue of northern Tel Aviv, not the one, not the famous Allenby Shul. That was the end of Dizengoff. But we lived on Rothschild, which is quite near the great synagogue. And when my father didn't, when he had off from his shul, we usually went to the great synagogue. And one Shabbat, Chaz Ungio Zichron Edvroche was sick, and they asked me to daven Musaf without me being prepared, with the choir. I stood there suddenly without thinking, and daven Musaf, or Shredesh Benson, without a rehearsal, sang compositions with the choir and so on. The result of that Shabbat was that on Sunday I got a call from the shul, where Ravitz was the conductor, the Bilu shul.
Mm-hmm.
Ravitz was there. He took me out to another room, started asking me about this and that and Nusach and so on, and he said, well, you'll get the job, but I want you to promise me that you're going to study with me. I said, well, sure I will.
By the way, how old were you at the time?
18, 17, half 18. And so I davened with him, my first Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as an adult. I was 18, he was 78, I think. So there was 60 years between us.
Something, that's
great.
That's
it, and from there, you know, from there it was just on. I was davening Shabbosim all over the country, concerts and so on, while I was studying yeshiva and the university. And then I got a job in Akko, which was the nicest shul in Israel at the time. And from there I went to the Central Synagogue on the Carmel in Haifa. There people heard me, and the rest is history. I went to Finchley in London. One of the great temptations in London was the availability of culture and studying at the Royal College of Music, going to operas and listening to a lot of good singers, which I did.
Well, how long did you live in England?
7 years.
Uh-huh. And then you came back to Israel from there?
From there, I came to Jerusalem, and for 30 years I was the chief chazan of the Great Synagogue in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. That was quite a wonderful period in your life. Yeah.
I think that our davening here became the role model for all Orthodox chazanim
uh-huh.
over the years.
Well, tell us how you formed the cantorial school.
The cantorial school started by the need to not the need I would say almost to revive to give Chazonus somebody passes out and you have got to give him
artificial respiration, breathing
and
yes
resurrect
yes.
We almost needed to resurrect Chazonus, and especially the whole thing of Nusach that was completely getting almost none. And that's how we started the school. First, we started it in Jerusalem, underneath the Hal Shlomo.
What year was
from
that?
From the Chaim Wiener came and took us together with Shlomo Lahat, the great mayor of Tel Aviv at the time, who loved Chazonus.
Who was that mayor? Who was the mayor?
Cheech.
Oh, okay, right.
Uh-huh. And he took us to Tel Aviv, and the rest is history. Since 92, I became the leader of the school. And that's it.
Well, I certainly know that the new crop of young Chazanim, many of them came through your school, and and many of them were with choirs. I'm sure I can't name all of them, but you have a great list. Perhaps you'll mention a few of the young ones.
Well, Hashem, listen. All the names, the great names of the young generation, almost all of them in New York or in America, are graduates of the school. There's one or two young Hillemer and what's his name? Yosef Stark, Jacob Yosef Stark, who didn't study here, but all the rest of them, all graduates of the Tel Aviv Cantorial Institute.
Now, you mentioned Chaim Wiener. Have you seen the new YouTubes that he put out?
Sure. I was trying to convince him for years. Don't forget, eventually, that's how God leads the world. We became a chotanim. You know, my son Etanel, who doesn't?
Yes, of course.
Married his daughter. So I spent a lot of time with Chaim. I knew about all this because I took part in it myself.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to convince him. It's a big job because all those things were recorded in a different sort of media than today.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't easy to sort of change it to today's media. But he agreed to do it, and it's a great gift for the world.
No question about it. It's very exciting. I'm publicizing it on my calendar and so forth. By the way, I just got a call from someone who told me this past Shabbos, Netanel had over 1,000 people. Of course, that's not unusual, but I don't know where they put 1,000 people in the Hampton Shul. But
that's very. Have you ever been there?
Of course, it's like a bar mitzvah.
No, it's not. The whole thing is that the shul is only so big.
Uh-huh.
But both sides, you know.
Yeah, they open up.
Alone,
right?
Under the canopy.
Yes.
You sit hundreds of people.
Yes, I know. It's amazing.
So this is it.
I'll be interviewing Netanel in another day or so. So I know you must be very proud of Netanel and the way he's progressed.
I am because I feel, first of all, I'm proud because he's such a wonderful mensch and a great chazan, a great davener. But apart from that, I feel that he's really following, he's a part of me, he's sort of following me.
Uh-huh.
And I really am proud of that.
Do you have other children who are involved with music?
Oh, sure. First of all, my daughters could teach in the school if I asked them to.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Because they all know the Nusach very well. I'll tell you a little story. One of my daughters, the younger one, her husband, she gave birth just a few days before Yom Kippur, And so they, in the yeshiva they live in, Elazar, in, you know, next to Efrat, they found out that because of that they'll have to stay in Elazar and not come to me, to the great synagogue. So they came over and they said, Mati, you've got a very nice voice. We need you. Now that you are here, you can't get out of that. You're going to daven Kol Nidre and the whole first night. He said, I never done that. I don't know. So. And then my daughter from the, you know, from the bedroom says, don't you worry, he'll be ready, he'll do it.
That's great.
She told him the whole geshef.
Oh, wow.
but the famous Chazan to teach, who is a fantastic teacher in the school, is my son Shraga.
Shraga?
Shraga, yeah.
Yes.
Who is older than Netanel. He didn't want to leave the country. He had an offer when he was 20, I don't know how many years old, 24. They wanted him in Marble Arch in London. They gave him a tremendous offer, but he said he doesn't want to leave Israel.
Uh-huh.
And, so that's how it is. So he davened Yom Noaim, actually, last year. He davened in New York, and this year again, the same place.
Got it. Now, is Shrulik your nephew?
Is that?
Shrulik.
Repeat the question.
Shrulik. Shrulik Herstik, isn't he a nephew of yours?
Shrulik?
Yes.
Sure, that's my brother Chaim Eliezer's son. Sure he is.
Yes, is he continuing with Chazanis at all?
He davens very nicely. He's more into the Hasidic stuff, you know. Uh-huh. He's a very popular singer and has got his own choir, a Hasidic choir and orchestra. But Yom Noaim, he davens, yes. He davens, actually, I think he davens in... with Reuven Pinsky, he davens in the Woodmere.
Oh, here in the States. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Only Rosh Hashanah and Kippur.
I see. Now, I know somewhat the answer to this, but where do you think Chazanis is going?
Whoa, that's a very, very, very difficult question. Look, I'm not ready to eulogize, because if you come to Israel, you see what goes on in the school or in the concerts of the school or the concerts of Dr. Sobol,
mm-hmm.
or others.
Yes.
You see full houses. Full house. I'm talking about the Chala Tarbut, 2,800 seats.
I was there. I was there 3-4 weeks ago with Adler and. Svi Weiss and Simon Cohen and others. It was a packed,
sure.
Yes,
and that's how it is. I mean, not only in Tel Aviv. We gave concerts in Hadera. We gave concerts in Ashdod, in Ashkelon, in Tel Aviv, in where you know, and Jerusalem. It's always full.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is a new crowd that is those who came from Russia and sort of start to have a certain yearning to that sound,
uh-huh.
Especially when that sound is coming with a very intelligent, lovely harmony, like you know what we can in the Tel Aviv Cantorial Institute deliver.
Yes,
the choir, the chazanim.
Now you used
and
to,
and I've got Raymond Goldstein with the instruments, so it is really tremendous evenings, and you don't have to have such a huge place like Echala Tarbut. There are very nice halls of 800, 750 seats all over the country, and we like to perform there because that way we go out to Israel and not only to Tel Aviv.
You used to bring the choir to the States. I always enjoyed the choir.
Right? You were the first who brought us. You and Benny.
They were wonderful. they were so wonderful. And I love choirs, Naftali. I believe that we, you know, the choir, when you read about the biographies of the great cantors, that they all started in choirs, of course, at a young, a very young age. But you were so great at putting choirs together also, which I miss.
Yeah, well, listen, I believe that Hirschman would not have been so mellifluous, so musical. The same goes for Moshe Kosovitsky, who sang for years in the choir. I mean, and who didn't? I mean, you can hear those who really sang in choirs for years, because there is a different, something comes through much more musical than the normal just chazonas.
Yes. You know, it's
you know, Moshe Stern at the time had his actually his own choir with the family. You know, he was a choir boy for his father, and you can hear that too. There's a certain musicality, musicianship, delivery that you get only when you are serving as a chorister in a shul.
Yes. Yeah.
And we do that all the time in the school. We go out for Shabbatot as well.
Aha. Uh-huh. Throughout the land of Israel. And do you go to Europe also?
It's not an easy undertaking, because there's always somebody, you know, we used to get, we still do some support from the government. But, you know, the shul is not a, that is not a concert place, that, you know.
Right.
But slowly, slowly, we are getting there.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Baruch Hashem.
By the way...
And listen, I mean, to mention just a few names in New York, I mean, Netanel, not to mention Helvgott, not to mention Chaim David Berzin, not...
Sure, Yaki Lemmer and...
Ozzy.
Ozzy Schwartz.
Ozzy Schwartz.
Of course, and you mentioned Stark and Zevi Muller, yeah. And of course, Yossi Malavani, you know, and
no, Malavani is not he's older than me.
Yes,
he's not a graduate of the Tel Aviv.
Of course. By the way, you sound great, and I know you went through a crisis of proud a year ago, and I'm very pleased that you've come through it with flying colors, from what I understand.
Listen. Baruch Hashem, I really feel 20 years younger than I felt a year ago.
Uh-huh.
I was really sick. Both my kidneys gave up, and they were failing for quite a time. I was I had to have treatment during the week, 2-3 times, sometimes 4 times a week, and that was not easy at all.
Mm-hmm.
But Baruch Hashem, I had a kidney donation from somebody who you met my wife Elka.
Yes.
That, Baruch Hashem, had the courage, had the love, and had the health to donate a kidney to me.
Interesting.
And now I feel, 4 months after the operation, I was standing again in the Great Synagogue in Moscow, davening with the choir, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is like a miracle.
Yes, it's fantastic.
It is fantastic. Like a miracle. Yeah.
Well, Naftali, I certainly wish you many more years of good health and success in your endeavor of keeping Chazonus alive. And, we have to keep trying, that's for sure.
Yeah. Listen, you asked me where Chazonus goes. When I was in London 30-odd years ago, I'm making a differentiation between Chazonus and opera,
mm-hmm.
but that question was hanging in the air. What's going to become of the opera? And look what happened. I think that there's so many youngsters today who go for such a beautiful tradition that we have, such a beautiful musical cultural tradition, that I think that it will pick up again. And then, listen, you can sing Yeah Boy 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 and lots of many, many other things, but when it comes to words, to express a prayer properly, it's very hard to beat a great chazan.
For sure.
Or a good chazan.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us, and I look forward to seeing you in Haaretz, and perhaps you'll be coming here. Look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, and you mentioned again, you mentioned that, you know, last Shabbat in the Hamptons.
Yes.
I mean, look, he's my son, Netanel, but look what happens.
Yes.
And there is a rabbi, obviously, who does a great job, obviously.
Yes, of course, one
and
of the problems...
He encourages him to do what he does.
Yeah, well,
encourages him to do what he does.
Schneier, the son, has always, always been a fan of Chazonis. By the way, he listened to my radio show 20, 25 years ago, so he's not a Johnny come lately. He loves Chazonis, and we have to find rabbis who... You know, if a rabbi doesn't like Chazonis, it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to train the rabbis, I think.
That's right. We have to train the rabbis.
Yes.
Some places we've got to change the president and take
the board. Right. Well, someone told me that if there was a choice between a rabbi and a cantor and you could only afford one, the halacha says you should have a cantor unless the rabbi happens to be a gadolim.
Look, you remember, we all remember very well, David Bagley.
Yes.
Zichrono Livrocha.
Yes.
David Bagley. And, you know, when he was not so well anymore, and it was hard for him to govern, they offered him to be the Rav of the Shul.
Really?
But, you know, he kept governing as well. So I said to him, David, no, sof kol sof, the chazan agrees with the gabbai. He says, I'm not so sure.
Anyway.
What a man he was.
Yes.
What a chazan.
Yes, yes. Well, you've been at the forefront, and you've been involved with all of the greats of...
Could you please speak up?
You've been involved with all the greats.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, but, you know, the one thing that I would like to teach the young ones, something that I learned from him. Once, he was not old yet at all, he was in his 50s. He came here and he said these words, you know, you've got to treat the old Chazanim like if they were your grandfathers, your great uncles, because your Yerusha comes from them.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to give them covered, and you've got to look after them. And, you know, what I wanted to say is that I have the zechut of calling when he was really sick already and he was in the old age home. I called him up every 2 weeks before Shabbos. And you know what? Never mind what he did to him. There was not even once when he didn't leave me with a wonderful dvar Torah.
Interesting.
But the point is that when the Chazonim are getting older, all their disciples should remember what they did for them.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, thanks again for sharing your thoughts with us, Naftali, and to be continued. Shalom.
Hello.
Okay, that was Cantor Naftali Herstick. Let's go on to an interview with Cantor Bensinen Miller, who recently returned from a trip to Poland, and we'll hear more about that. Very pleased to have with me on the phone my good friend, the outstanding Cantor Bensinen Miller. Shalom. How are you, Bensinen?
Fine, Baruch Hashem.
Okay, you know, during these 3 weeks, I decided I'm not playing music. I'm interviewing some of the stars of Chazanut, and you certainly are one of them. Wanted to just start by telling us, if you don't mind, where you were born and where you were raised.
I was born in a DP camp in Germany, Fernwald, after the war. And I was raised in Brooklyn, New York, Brownsville, actually.
Uh-huh.
And then After that, we moved to Crown Heights, and from Crown Heights to Borough Park, and the rest is history.
Did you do a stint in Canada?
Yeah. Well, as a kid, we moved.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, when I got married, I lived in Borough Park. And then I moved to the Bronx. I was a chazan in the Bronx. And from the Bronx, I moved to Montreal. From Montreal to Toronto, back to Borough Park.
Okay. Yeah, you've been around to all the good places.
The best.
Yes.
And it was always a step up.
Tell us how you got involved with Chazanut.
I didn't get involved. I was born into it. I wasn't involved. My father was a chazan. My grandfather was a chazan. My great-grandfather was a chazan. So I, was born into it. I always wanted to be a chazan ever since I was a little kid.
Were you in a choir when you were younger?
Not a professional choir. I was a mishara with my father.
Uh-huh.
He wouldn't let us go, me and my brothers, he wouldn't let us go to the other choirs because of the Chilul Shabbos and all the other things that went on over there. He didn't want us to see it.
That was in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn and Manhattan and the Bronx, wherever.
Uh-huh.
There were choirs. I mean, all these big choirs, the major choirs. Although they all used yeshiva kids, but my father never let us go to any of them.
Interesting. When did you begin to record?
My first recording, it was in 1970.
Is that the blue one with you with a big cap on it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, I have that.
Oh, that was in Israel.
Yes, yes. I'll have to play that after the holidays. Little history. When did you get your position at Bethel?
1981.
And you're still the chazan there?
Still am, yes.
81, that's 19, 29, 34 years, okay.
I finished 34 years now, all right. We're going to start, the Sliches is going to be the 35th Sliches.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yep.
That's quite a record, quite a record.
Yeah, one may say. I mean, I try, listen, every job I've left, I never left a job because they weren't happy with me. Every time I left a job was I was going to better myself and I went to a better position.
Uh-huh.
So I stayed till the end of my contract and then I moved on. But I never changed positions because I had to change it for whatever reason.
Gotcha.
And once you're here, this is like the Carnegie Hall of Chazonas.
Yes,
you don't
for
go
sure.
anywhere from here.
Well, that is the top for sure, and the history there is just such an outstanding history with all the great cantors of the past.
Sure.
By the way, I interviewed your son Shimmy. Where was Shimmy born?
Shimmy was born in Toronto.
Uh-huh. Okay, I see. How many children do you have?
Five.
Uh-huh. Are the others besides Shimmy involved with the music?
Sure. Well, I only have two sons, Shimmy and Ellie.
Uh-huh.
Ellie is my cousin Shani in the shul.
I see.
He's in Bethel with me.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, he held several positions. He was in by Rabbi Germain in Starrett City, I think it's called off the belt on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Uh-huh.
I forgot the name.
Uh-huh.
It's either Starrett City over there or there's another name.
Pennsylvania Avenue?
Yeah, off the belt. You see it off the belt in the Pennsylvania Avenue exit.
Right.
He was there for 1 year, and then he was with Rabbi Winter for several years in Seabreeze Jewish Center. And then I took him to me. So he's by us. 2000.
Shimmy's choir is certainly one of the finest choirs, and it's so good to see his development as a chazan.
It is. Shimmy's a great chazan himself.
Yes.
Too bad that on the high holidays I don't have him. Another shul has him instead. So I had to give him up so that he can go and build a career for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's doing very nicely.
Yes, for sure. Ben-Sion, where do you see Chazanes at present, and what's your feelings about its future?
40 years ago, approximately, I heard Chazanes talking about how Chazanes is dying. That was 40 years ago. And slowly, it's dying, and it's dying, and it's dying, and we hear everybody talking about it's dying. Had a little resurgence, but I don't like to paint a glum picture. But I believe that it's more or less dead. Shuls are not hiring Chazanes, and if they are hiring, they're not paying a living wage. Although there are people that love Chazanes, and they'd walk a mile for a camel, you know, the old saying.
Sure.
They'd walk a mile, or even 10 miles, they'd walk to hear a Chazan, as long as it's free. If they have to pay a nickel, they're not in. As much as they love it. They wouldn't think of any other thing that they like that they wouldn't spend money on. But somehow, when it comes to shul business, when it comes to davening, they figure it's coming to them, and you got to give it to them for nothing. Because he has to daven. Uh-huh. So if he has to daven, you got to let him in for nothing. I mean, people by me and shul come Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they take seats, they daven there the whole Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they don't give a nickel.
Really?
Not a nickel. They don't even think that possibly the shul has to have an income in order to exist. And even we appeal, we have appeals, and we ask them for money, we ask them for things. And as Rabbi Shor, Olav HaSholem, used to say, these are called spiritual freeloaders. They don't care, you know. I should give money to the shul for what? For what? You're coming in and you're enjoying it. Yeah, and not only do you enjoy it, but you tell the chazan what you'd like to hear. You know, so we're at a situation today where as long as you can give it to them for free, they're in. The minute there are people that support, but most of them don't. I just discussed it a few minutes ago with one of my balabatim from shul. We try this, we try that, we try all kinds of gimmicks and things to bring the people in and to have the awareness that they have to, you know, share some of their money with us. But in the long run, it doesn't work. It does not work. Whatever we try doesn't work.
I know.
That's a signal to me that it's almost over.
You've had a program of bringing a young Chazanes in on...
We still have that program.
Yes. It's certainly... something that I would hope would grow, but obviously they need some remuneration also.
Okay, we have somebody that sponsors that.
I see.
That's not the point. The point is that we do give a chance to young Chazanes to have a platform to come and be seen and be heard.
Uh-huh.
And get known, whatever. We have it on our website, and people can see it, you know. So it's a form of advertisement for them and making a little name for themselves.
Yeah.
And people do come.
Yeah,
people do come to listen to them.
I just sent out the calendar, and you have, is it Boyer?
Boyer, yeah, the Shabbos.
Yes, and in August, I think August 11, I don't remember the name of the young cousin.
Zellinger?
Zellinger, right.
Yeah. So we do have. We had, up until now, for the last few months, we had a young cousin every Shabbos.
I wish I knew about that. I would love to have publicized it. But,
yeah, okay.
But I guess
it's never too late.
Yes.
we give them a platform. As a matter of fact, some of them even get to use the choir.
Really?
Yeah, the choir enjoys singing with them, and we help them out, you know, and we try the best we can.
Well, I understand your pessimism. I don't have the answer myself. You know, we struggled all the years with Cantor's World, and we were happy if we broke even.
So you know the game.
Oh yes,
you know what it is.
Sure, we've been there, and people like to talk, but
But it's a little bit. The situation is not exactly the same. Cantor's World was only concerts. A concert is a form of entertainment. People pay for entertainment. You had great expenses, so you to cover the expenses, you had to bring in a lot of money to cover the expenses. To break even only, you had to bring in lots of money.
Yep.
A shul is different. We're davening. And people want to come and hear the chazan daven with the choir. And they hear appeals in the shul that we're in need of funds and this and that. You're enjoying it. You're there. Why don't you give a donation?
I understand. I gave a presentation recently in Teaneck, and afterwards in the discussion, you know, I said, here you have a town with maybe 14, 15 Orthodox shuls, not one chazan.
Yep.
They do bring in the Mutzen once in a while, and Netanel Herstick lives in town and does a concert every once in a while. But
okay, so this is nothing. A shul, you see, the problem is chazanut belongs in a shul. I mean, it was created for the synagogue. It was created for the shul, for the davening.
Right.
For the enhancement of the davening. For the beauty of the davening. Everything in God's world, Zekeli v'anveu, you have to make it pretty. Everything that the Rabbeinu Shalom tells us to do. When it comes to an esrog, everybody runs to buy the most expensive esrog. Why? Because it's an Indian of Zekeli v'anveu. We want to make God's mitzvahs pretty. So when it comes to shul, and we want to make the davening pretty, which this is an essential part of our lives, is the services in the synagogue, the davening. So when we try to make it pretty and try to make it nice and try to make it interesting, why wouldn't people want to be involved and be part of this and help support it and make sure that a shul has a chazan? I mean, after all, I don't care how good the guys daven in shul. A chazan does a nicer job at it any time.
Yes, yes.
I know the complaints. They take too long. The davening is stretched out. It's not so. It's not so. You could stretch out a davening, and you could daven quickly. And if you want to daven quickly, a chazan is going to do it much better than somebody else.
Yes, yes, I've seen that. You think it's a question of education?
It might be. I wouldn't call it. It should be re-educated. The people had the education at one time, but it has to be re-established and and people have to rededicate themselves to this. See, for instance, in Borough Park, we have big shuls in Borough Park, but we don't have the nucleus. The people that used to go to shuls,
yes,
don't live in Borough Park anymore. Very few. You have mostly Hasidim over here, yeshiva people. You know, that the only daven in shtibles. They don't daven in shuls.
I see.
So, for every shul you have 15 shtiblech. And for every for every person that joins a shul, you have 100 that don't.
I see.
Because they daven in different places. So what's funny is the paradox over here is that where we lived before in Brownsville and the Crown Heights and the Bronx and in the different areas in New York, where you had beautiful big shuls, the area turned bad and you had to move out and they were left. The shuls were left behind. But over here in Borough Park, where we have a great amount of Jews and shul-going Jews, they go to shtiblich, they don't go to shuls. So the shuls are left alone, you know, the shuls are left empty, like the shuls that the area changed.
Uh-huh.
So here the area changed for good, but for the shuls it doesn't work.
Right, and for the chazanim it works even less.
Well, know. Definitely, no shul, no chazanim.
Yes.
And a shul over here can't afford a chazan. But I'm talking of places where they can afford. You take places like Woodmere, or places like Teaneck, and Englewood, and other cities mm-hmm. around here that have very, very vibrant shuls with a lot of activities going on and everything, but for a chazan they have no room.
Someone told me there was a halacha that if you had to choose between a rabbi and a chazan, that the chazan was supposed to take preference.
Precedence. Yeah, that is correct. There is such a halacha.
Uh-huh.
But you'll never hear it from a rabbi.
Well, of course, a lot also does depend on the rabbi in the sense of whether he is encouraging chazanis. Some rabbis recognize this, that it's an enhancement of the shul and of his own position. Others see it as a threat.
Yep. It's very few rabbis would fight to have a chazan in the shul. You can count them on one hand, maybe.
Yes, yeah.
I think you might be left with a finger or two.
Oh, wow. Well, Betsy and I...
This is basically the ones that did away with the chazanim and the shuls were the rabbis.
Yes. Yeah. And,
okay. They want to have the
show to themselves.
Yeah, limelight mm-hmm. and the thunder and everything, and mm-hmm. Especially if you bring in a good chazan.
Yeah. Yeah, rather than seeing it as an enhancement, they see it as a threat. It's too bad.
I don't know why they see it as a threat. I think a smart rabbi would want to have a chazan. Because no matter what, the rabbi is still the leader of the shul. The rabbi is still in charge. And the rabbi is the whatchamacallit. He's the leader.
Yes, and the motivation.
It's all his.
Yes. Yes.
And the chazan only enhances what's his.
Yes. Yes.
So that's like taking a picture and putting a nice frame around it. So the rabbi is the picture and the chazan is the frame around the picture. But a picture without a frame is, I don't care how nice the picture is, it's still missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, when you go to shul and you listen to some of the guys that come up there to daven, And you know, and you have to put up with it. Because a lot of the laymen that go up to daven don't know how to daven.
Yeah.
So, for that alone, when I was chazan in Montreal, there was a rule in that shul. There were four people in shul that were allowed to go up to conduct services on a Shabbos. That was the chazan, the rabbi, the shamus, who was called the chazan sheni in the shul, and there was one extra person we had who was a big Talmud Chochem and this and that, and he done pretty nice.
Uh-huh.
Those were the only four, and it didn't help anything. You could have your tzayit, you can have shmir tzayit, it doesn't mean nothing. Nobody, except for those four people, were allowed to conduct services. Because when you get somebody that has your site and he doesn't know how to daven, everybody has to suffer. So they passed a law in the shul, nobody can daven, only these four people.
Interesting. Interesting.
And in most shuls, it's not like that. People demand, they have to be put up to the yomid and they have to conduct services and they're not good enough. That's okay. All. They don't meet the requirements.
I'm not
They certainly are not never studied Nusach or even.
And today most shuls Nusach is out of the window.
Mm-hmm.
It left. Today you have all kinds of things. As long as you're singing songs, and the people can sing along, that's good. It could be out of the mode, out of the Nusach. It's completely, totally foreign and strange to the davening. But if it's a song and everybody can sing along and we have community singing and everybody's involved, that's good. But it's not davening. I'm sorry.
Oh, Ben Sion.
There's a halacha for that. There's a halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam brings down the Maharil that you got to stick to the Nusach. And you're not allowed to deviate. You're not allowed to change the Nusach. So where did it come off to start singing songs? You want to sing a song? Sing it in the Nusach, in the mode. Then it's okay. But if you're going to sing a song just because you like it, and the people know the song and they can sing along, they can hum along, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's in the wrong place. It does not belong in the shul.
Well, it's hard to be optimistic, but Ben Sion, can you give some encouragement?
Encouragement? The only encouragement I can give, you mean encouragement to Chazonim or
yes.
Encouragement to the layman?
Either way.
Well, the only way I can see any encouragement that I can give to any Chazonim that are growing up, and to tell you the honest truth, I feel sorry for them, because there are youngsters with a lot of talent, and I think to myself, where are these guys going to go? How are they going to do something when the shuls don't accept Chazonim, and when the shuls are not ready to support a Chazon? So how are these guys ever going to make it? So if the shuls would commit themselves, let's start with once a month. A lot of shuls take Chazonim for the holidays,
mm-hmm.
For the high holidays. Why can't they take somebody for once a month? And they have the funds. They have the money to back it. They have people to back it.
I want to have.
Let's not do it as a regular diet where you have it every Shabbos. It might be too much, but once a month to enhance the davening, to have a nice davening that the people should go out and say, "Listen, today we were inspired, and we felt like sitting there a little longer." That's when you know you licked it. That's when you know we're turning around and we're going back up.
Well, I was going to recommend a Chazanis month declared, and throughout the country, all the shuls would for 1 month encourage Chazanis, even if it's not every Shabbos for that month, but to make it an awareness. But I think there is
work to be done. It's an idea, but that's only 1 month.
Uh-huh.
That's only one. Well, I wouldn't have it once a month, every month.
Okay.
Once a month, it's not the end of the world. There are four Shabboses in a month. So you take one and you dedicate it to this. It's an art form that was created for the synagogue. Why not take advantage of it?
Well,
I don't see it as a burden. Some mm-hmm. people see it as a burden, but I say it's an advantage. Take advantage of it.
Well,
it's around. It's available.
Sounds like a great project, and
yeah, who's going to undertake it? Maybe you should. You should get Benny involved and start things up again.
Well,
you got to recharge the battery.
Yes. Well, we meet all the time and wonder. We have a dream, and we haven't given up the dream yet. Ben Sion.
Well, listen, talking about a dream.
Yes.
Ponovich Arov, when he was going to build the yeshiva in Bnei Brak on the hill, he saw this hill in Bnei Brak. He says, you know, I have a dream. He says, he didn't say I have a dream. He says, listen, he took somebody out and he showed him the hill in Bnei Brak. He says, over here, I see a yeshiva being built. We're going to have thousands of students coming out, and there's going to be Torah here day and night. So the fellow told him, Rabbi, you're dreaming. He says, yes, I'm dreaming, but I'm not sleeping.
I like that.
Okay, so you can dream all you want as long as you don't sleep.
Okay, listen, Vincent, it's a pleasure speaking with you, and
likewise,
we'll just have to keep trying. I'm not giving up yet. I'm not ready to throw in the towel, and neither are you. So let's just keep
trying. We have to get more people involved.
Yes, for
if
sure.
If you want anything to happen, you have to have a body behind you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Alone, you can't do anything.
No question. No question.
Okay, I wish you luck.
Yes.
Lots of success.
Thank you.
And
and you too, and have a...
And maybe Mashiach is going to come quickly, and we won't have to fast this Tisha B'Av.
Okay.
The 3 weeks will be taken care of, you know?
Okay.
We'll have all the music in our life.
Amen.
Zagazan.
Have a good Shabbos. Okay, that was Cantor Bensian Miller. Let's hear his son. Now, I have to apologize. There was a slight problem with the telephone, but you'll see, we'll get past that. So this is Cantor Shimi Miller. And just take me 1 second to get this set up. I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone Cantor Shimi Miller, an outstanding young chazan and an outstanding choir leader. Shalom, Shimi.
Shalom, Charlie.
Okay, it's my pleasure to be speaking with you. As I mentioned, during the 3 weeks, I always run into a problem what to play. So I decided this year I'm going to call various chazanim and the lovers of chazanis and just have a schmooze. So why don't we start with the beginning? Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, and then we'll talk about how you got involved with Chazanut.
Okay, so first of all, it's a great honor for me to be speaking to a legend of Chazanus that happens not to be a Chazan, which it's a great honor for me.
Thank you.
To answer your question, I was kind of, let's say, somewhat forced into Chazanus.
Uh-huh.
I come from a Chazanish background. My grandfather was a Chazan, his father was a Chazan, my father is a Chazan, and it's in the blood, but I never thought of myself as becoming a Chazan when I was younger.
By the way, where were you born?
I was born in Toronto, in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And we moved here about 35 years ago, 1980. My father got the shtela in Bethel,
mm-hmm.
and he's been there since. And so we moved to New York, and I started singing in the choir as a soloist as a kid. When I was about 6 years old, I think I started singing in the choir, 6 or 7. So my in with Chazanus, however, I never thought of myself as become a Chazan. I started my Chazanus career at a fairly late age, in my 30s, about 6-7 years ago,
uh-huh.
which is rare for people starting in the Chazanus field. Usually they start out at a much younger age. I was involved in Chazanus as a choir leader, but... not as a chazan.
Your choir started even much earlier, for about 12 years you were leading that. Just as a point for my listeners, if you haven't heard their choir, Shimi's choir, you call it the Aaron Miller Memorial Choir, I believe?
Well, actually, it's a name that was given to the choir by Dr. Bobby Shulman, who is a prominent member of my father's shul. He did it in honor of my grandfather, uh-huh. Rav Aaron Miller, who was a composer and chazan and moil, world-renowned moil, and made some very world-renowned tunes that are of world,
mm-hmm.
that were sung by the likes of Avram Fried. It's sung in the Hasidic world,
right.
a lot. My grandfather was a great composer.
So the choir was unique in that the members are all themselves from and believers. And as we know, there's a great difference between just mouthing words that you don't believe, But when you believe them, there's a certain neshama that comes out that cannot be replaced. And I think that's one of the uniquenesses of your choir.
What you're saying, while you're saying it, and to relate to the words that gives you that feeling or regesh or soul.
Yeah, if you don't believe the words, it shows.
I don't know it, as far as belief, or I think it's more of an understanding. You had plenty of chazanim actually that had soul that I believe they didn't have a great knowledge of the meaning of the words.
Uh-huh.
I think there were a lot of chazanim that didn't in the early 1900s to the mid 1900s that were great, wonderful, had wonderful voices and had great talent. But I have my doubts as to their actual, maybe they had some knowledge of what they were saying, but the actual meaning of the words they might have, but they still had, they were still wonderful chazanim.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Which is, it's fun, it's an enigma, but it's interesting to me, but they were, I guess they grew up with it. It's when you grow up listening to chazanim and you learn, you learn how to fake it, let's say.
Uh-huh. Well, you've been fortunate. I know your dad has been fortunate to be part of the community and a shul that has an appreciation for chazanus, which is rare nowadays.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, it's rare nowadays. It's interesting who comes to listen to chazanus today. You have a vet. The cantorial fan, it's a mix of from all types of walks of Jewish life. As a matter of fact, the interesting thing is my dad is now in Krakow. Last night there was a concert, Sunday night there was a concert in Krakow, and mainly made up of non-Jews, of Polish non-Jews that come to the concert, cantorial concert. And they love it. And Saturday night, Motzei Shabbos, this coming Motzei Shabbos, there is going to be they have what's called their main event, which is the end all of the cultural festival, and they have like 20,000. Polish people in the square in Krakow.
Wow.
And they hear Jewish music. So uh-huh. it's an interesting phenomenon. But to go back to what we were talking about, Bethel is like the Carnegie Hall of Chazanus.
Yes. Yes.
It housed the world. I mean, the biggest Chazanim of the day were all Chazanim in Bethel. We had from Hirschman to Moshe Kosovitsky, Moshe Stern, and my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are world-class chazanim that had the job of being the chazan in Bethel.
Yes, and the acoustics there are incredible, and the choir, I've never really heard the choir up in the choir loft, but it was supposed to be an incredible sound to hear the purity of the sound in that shul.
Mentioning the choir in the choir loft, I grew up singing over there.
Really?
Dinovitzer was the choir leader. I don't know. Do you remember Dinovitzer?
No.
The
no,
short guy choir leader. He was a choir leader when I was a kid, and Leon Berger.
Oh yes, well that yes.
Leon Berger was the and Lapa was there 1 year, and Harvey Perlman was choir leader for a while. I think for 1 or 2 years. So we had quite a few choir leaders when I was a kid. As a matter of fact, I think. Growing up singing in the choir is what gave me the ability to lead the choir, to know what responses and to give.
Uh-huh.
Interestingly, I told my father when I was a kid once, I told my father when I was sitting, my father as a guy, I think I was 11 or 12, maybe even younger, 10, 11, I told my father, you know, I know exactly where you're going to go and what response to give. And my father was taken aback. He said, you know where I'm going to go? My father with his improvisations, I said, I don't know. I feel it. I know what your next step is going to be.
That's great.
I think that's what my success is as a choir leader, is knowing before the chazan does what he does, knowing where he's going to go.
That's so important. It really is. Really
definitely
is. And I think you together with Danny Gildar, that completes it.
Yes, Danny is wonderful when it comes to that.
Yes, he senses. He can cover for the chazan a lot too.
definitely. Danny's a great chazan in his own right.
Yes. You know what? I have a tape of his from about 20 years ago. I should play it. He's a little embarrassed. He does. But it's the only recording I have, Danny Gildar singing about eight selections.
Right. Yiddish.
Yes.
Yiddish tune.
Yes.
Danny is a superb chazan in his own right. And I try to get him to sing in concert, to sing. And he also always shies away. He's always hiding behind the piano. And it's a real, it's really unfortunate that he's not allowing us to hear his greatness.
Yes.
Because aside from being a superb musician and a great voice teacher, he is also a wonderful chazan.
Interesting. Yes.
I did learn a lot from him, chazanist-wise. He was my voice teacher for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
And I learned a lot. I used to go over the davening with him and I learned a lot from him.
Yes. And he's such a mensch. It's wonderful.
Definitely.
You know, just as an aside, I'm sure you're aware of this, there's a whole underground of live davenings that were recorded between Koussevitzky and Stern. I don't get involved with this underground. You know, the first thing when I meet someone who's a lover of chazan, I say, "Did you have Koussevitzky's Friday night davening?" I said, "Well, I do, but I don't. Somebody said, a rabbi said, well, if it's already out there, the world should hear it. But I have decided years ago not to play any of that on my program because I just don't want to get involved with the issue.
Controversy.
It certainly would be a controversy. But you know what? Most people have it. I'm making a broad generalization because I know that among lovers of chazanis, they appreciate hearing. Well, there's nothing like hearing the real davening. That's for sure. You know, the difference between a davening and a concert, you can't even compare.
Well, I'll let you in a little secret. I a lot of my davening styles and thoughts come from live davenings that I've heard from other chazanim. And as much as it might not be right to record for the person that's recording it, or I don't know if it's a problem listening to it. I don't know that it was recorded by a non-Jew or it was recorded by a Jew. Whatever the case is,
right.
It's out there, and I've heard live davenings from Moshe and from David and from Moshe Genshoff and Moshe Osher. There's a famous davening. It's on YouTube from in the Pines Hotel.
Uh-huh.
Of him davening on Pesach. I've heard
live
davenings from Pinchik.
Pinchik, yes, of course. Yeah.
there's a lot. There is a lot out there.
I know. It's
Moshe Stern.
There was one individual who followed Stern around the world, and anyway. Where do you think chazanis is going?
You know, there was a rebirth of chazanis, and I think Chazanos have its fans. It's like classical music. It's something that's not going to, it's not going to die. I think people still want to hear, I'll tell you, I davened this past Shabbos. I do a lot of stuff where I daven with these different choir groups like Mezamrim, and they hire me as a chazan.
Uh-huh.
And so there is a, people like to hear chazanos for a sheva brachos, at a bar mitzvah. They want to hear the Rosh of the Shabbos, and they want to hear the Shema Yisrael from Glantz, and they want to hear the, you know, they Brich Shemei.
Okay, so you were saying Brich Shemei.
Brich Shemei and Uvnuch HaYomer, and all of these, they're the famous pieces, the staple pieces, like during the davening, they want to hear it. And they like the chazanos. So there is somewhat of a classical aspect to it, where the same way classical music is not going to die, there's always going to be fans for classical music, I believe. And the same thing goes to chazanos. It's the classical Jewish, you know, liturgical music is always, I think, going to have a place in the Jewish In the Jewish home, you know, there's always people, as much as people, you know, like they might not go for David Moshe Steinberg's Gali Kavoid or Hamavir Bonov, they might not even, they don't even know about that to say, but they're the famous pieces, you know, the pieces that people hear all the time and they want to hear it. I davened a few weeks ago, actually 2 weeks ago, I davened the Young Israel of North. He wanted me to sing every book.
I'm sorry, that was Young Israel of where?
North Woodmere.
Oh, Woodmere, uh-huh.
Right. And the people there, they loved it. They ate it up. I was given a time limit, and then the Gabe came over to me and he said, you know, just go ahead, do whatever. Don't worry about it.
Uh-huh.
Some of these people didn't want to leave.
Yes.
Yes. And so there is some kind of rebirth to chazanos.
Yes. It's interesting that when you look around at the mix, particularly at concerts, the Hasidim make up a large group of lovers of chazanos. And it seems to me, I guess they really don't have any chazanim in their shuls, and they're searching for it.
Well, okay. So the Hasidim, they're great lovers of chazanos. And it's true, they don't have chazanim in their shuls. But it's not only the Hasidim, it's also the Young Israel abolished the chazanim. They got rid of the chazanim, and in the modern Orthodox, it's very rare to have a full-time chazan in a shul. It's all over the place. It's not only by the Hasidim. The yeshivish world, chazanos is almost non-existent.
I know, I have this Rosenblatt presentation, and I contacted 30 yeshivas. I would travel any place. I just wanted to play it to introduce the kids to Rosenblatt and maybe talk a little bit of chazanos. Not interested. I by the way, I'm not giving up on that. I'm going to find one yeshiva that will do it, and you know what? The word will spread. But in the meantime, look... it's an uphill battle in some places, but
I heard about the presentation. I heard that it was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I don't remember who told me he was there when you did it in Manhattan.
At OZ or Lincoln Square. With Yankee Lemmer.
Maybe it was Yankee Lemmer. Yeah, maybe he told me about it. He said it was a very nice presentation.
Yes, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. So who were some of your favorite cantors from the past? Did you have any favorites?
Interesting. I have some days where I listen to this one and some days where I listen to that one.
Uh-huh.
My true favorites are Yankel and David Kosovitsky. And I love listening to Moshe Genshoff. If Moshe Stern is I don't consider him from the past, but he's definitely one of my favorites.
Yes.
I grew up listening to my father, which was in and of itself a real treat.
For sure.
I liked all the Chazanim. I used to run. I learned in yeshiva in Israel. I used to run to listen to Naftali Hirshtick and Eli Yaffe.
Yes.
Whenever I had the chance, that was a real treat. You know.
I didn't realize that you studied in Israel.
Yeah, I studied in Israel for 2 years.
Uh huh.
And that's where I got a vast knowledge. I used to. For Shabbos, as my father was there and davening in different places, and whenever my father was in town, davening Shabbos, I used to go along with him, and I heard different choirs and different chazanim. My father davened with Yaakov Motz and Israel Rand and Moshe Shulhoff and Moshe Stern and I got to hear all of these people, which also helped with my me forming my own chazonish style, if mm-hmm. I might say that.
Sure.
You know, it was a great experience for me listening to these people when I actually.
I'm sorry that we're having a little difficulty with the phone, and we were just talking about how, in your development while you were in Israel, you were influenced by many of the various cantors who you heard while you were there.
Yeah, I heard with my davening along with my father, I the ability to hear other chazanim that were there along with him for the Shabbos, and so I heard the different chazanim, and it fed my knowledge to the point where when I started singing chazanim, it helped the development of my ability to play.
Right.
And also, there are certain pieces that my father never sang because either it didn't, it wasn't for him, My father wasn't a big singer of, still, he's not a big singer of Yossel Rosenblatt style of chazanis because uh-huh. Yossel Rosenblatt's range is a different range than my father's range, and the style of chazanis is not something that, his pieces of chazanis weren't exactly in the style that my father, it's not my father's style, per se.
Uh-huh.
So I got to hear different chazanim that did sing in a variety of styles of mm-hmm. chazanis.
Right.
And even though I believe that even though you don't necessarily take that style and use it, like Yossel Rosenblatt is not my type of, there's no denying that he was a genius in chazanis, and I might even take a phrase or two from him that I would use, but to sing piece by piece from him is not necessarily built for my voice.
Uh-huh.
So... I might utilize, like last week, it was davening, and I threw in phrases into Canto Shabbos that I use, but not necessarily sing the whole piece.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. By the way, when I reviewed the lives of the great cantors from the Golden Age, every one of them invariably sang in choirs when they were kids, and I do believe that that experience is very, very important in forming the future chazan from that young age.
I definitely agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, David Kosovitsky started out his career in the choir and then became choir leader.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became a tremendous chazan. I could only aspire to become that.
Yes.
But...
Well, listen, I very much appreciate your davening and your singing, and I admire how you've developed your choir also, it's very, very special, you and the choir, and I wish you continued success, and it was a pleasure speaking with you, Shimmy.
Thank you, Charlie. The pleasure's all mine.
Okay, I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Okay. Take care. Be well.
Shalom.